Hope is cheap. Anybody ever hear that, somebody say that? What, have you ever heard somebody say, what you do that counts, what you say doesn't matter? Heard that? Uh-huh. What about this? You ever tell your kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me?
Yeah,
that's a lie. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't going to come out and say it that strongly in case parents, there were parents here that told their kids that. But we grow up and we find out that's not true, don't we? Because, in fact, words are very powerful. In fact, they're so powerful that the Word of God has a lot to say about them. We're going to be several places today, but our two primary scriptures will be in the book of James and in the book of Matthew. We want to go to James. We're going to first start in chapter 1, and then we're going to be in chapter 3. And I'm going to go ahead while you're finding it and read chapter 1, verse 26. And beloved, since you're sitting next to our recording device, I'd like it if you could read James chapter 3 when you get there.
Okay.
In chapter 1, verse 26, he says, If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James has some pretty strong things to say. In fact, in chapter 3 that we're about to read, the first thing he says is a warning that I take rather personally. Because I do love to teach, I love to share the Word of God. But he warns us right up front that the judgment for someone who takes on that responsibility is stricter. So when I preach this message, I preach to myself as well. But let's go ahead and read through verses 1 through 12.
The tongue is a fire. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, whatever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity, the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For our species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been named by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does the fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
Thank you. And while let's also turn while I'm sharing something here to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 33 here in a minute. But our words, in fact, define us. And you might think that that's kind of a strange thing to say. After all, James, who wrote this, also said that, you know, show me your, you say you've got works, or you say you've got faith, and I say I've got works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So, if the, do your words define you, or do your works define you? What defines you? Well, I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees. They just essentially accused him of having an evil spirit, and he's responding here. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you, every careless word which people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus had some rather strong words to say about our words. Because they're important. In fact, if you look at the, and we're not going to go there, but if you look at the verse that we often quote when we're preaching the salvation message, what does it say? It says, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, what you say is important. And going back to that whole faith and works question, if your words aren't matching what you're doing, then what you are is a liar.
Amen.
Now, you may be deceiving yourself. It may not be something that was intentional. But the fact of the matter is, our words do define us. Our words show what's in our heart. If we're constantly negative, if we're constantly thinking about what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with people, what's wrong with this, we really need to examine our hearts and find out where we're coming from. You know, I'm going to rely very heavily on another preacher, if you will. This guy is about 3,000 years old, and he was considered, leaving aside Jesus, he was considered the wisest man that ever lived on the earth because God gave it to him. And he had a whole lot to say about a lot of things, but many of the things that he spoke about were having to do with what we say. And that man, if you hadn't figured it out already, was King Solomon. We've seen how it is that our words define us, that we speak out of what's in our heart. We just read that in Matthew. And there are several contrasts. Proverbs is a book of contrasts. And some of the contrasts that he makes are based on what comes out of our mouth. The wicked versus the righteous. And you don't necessarily have to go find all these because we're going to jump all over the place and most of them are short. Just if I misread one, understand that it wasn't intentional. I'm trying to read Braille fast enough to make it come out right. So, you know, if lightning strikes me, then you'll know I really messed up. But starting in chapter 10, verse 11, I'm just going to read a couple here. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And again, in chapter 15, verse 28, it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And again, we have another contrast. We just had the righteous and the unrighteous. And we have another contrast of the wise versus the foolish. Abraham Lincoln said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
And in fact, I didn't quote it here, but there's a proverb that essentially says the same thing, that even a fool that keeps silent is thought to be wise.
Right.
Sometimes the best thing that we can do is to restrain our works. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 10:19. It says, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise.
Amen.
It's interesting, Priscilla, that you talked about gossip. I guess the Lord wanted us to really cover that topic today. because that's part of the discussion of the way that we use our tongues and the things that we say. You know, there was a scare a few years ago. We've got the swine flu now. But a few years ago, we had the bird flu. I think sometimes in church, what we've got is the little bird flu.
Yeah.
You know, the little bird told me.
Right.
And it is far more destructive than any strain of viral flu that you ever heard of. In fact, another verse says, and this is just the first part of the verse, it says, with his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on why it is that I think we do this. I don't believe I have anything beyond the conventional wisdom that can be said about that. And I don't think there's any question that we really shouldn't. We shouldn't be talking about each other. Now, I want to tell you something else that's also brought out by Proverbs. Now, chapter 10, verse 18. Is that right? Yeah. Chapter 10, verse 18 says that he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. If we are saying out of one side of our mouth, oh, how wonderful you are,
right,
and then saying behind your back, that he is such an idiot. We're no better. It's no different. Because what's of real concern is what's inside of our heart.
Amen. It's true.
And it's true on a national level. Anybody who's paid attention to the news knows what happens. Anytime somebody in the banking industry, the president, people on the news, they make these predictions, they say these things, and immediately you see a reaction.
Right.
The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. You speak. Proverbs explains this, again, wisdom from the scripture, because it says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. What we say has tremendous consequences. Divisiveness. It's kind of related. You look over in chapter 16, verse 28. It says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. We ought not to have any part of that in our body. If you look over in the New Testament, and this is specifically what Paul is dealing with in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he's actually just been dealing specifically with people that are causing dissension based on doctrine. But the principle is there. It says, reject the fractious man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning and being self-deceived, self-condemned. Don't even associate. Another verse that says, another verse out of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, says that he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip.
Right.
In fact, what we should be doing is the exact opposite. If you know something bad about somebody, deal with it. You remember our study that we had on Matthew 18 a couple of weeks ago and how to do that in a productive and in a restorative manner? That's what we should be doing. We should be doing, if we know something that's not good, we need to be going in love and dealing with that in private and in love.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says that he who conceals a transgression, he who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter, again, separates intimate friends. What we say can destroy our fellowship. Don't even listen. In fact, you know, it might sound rude, but if somebody starts talking to you about something like that, you just go ahead and say, you know, I don't know that we really need, I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. I love so-and-so. And I don't think it benefits me to know that. It doesn't help our relationship for me to know that.
Amen.
And there's another thing that's kind of related, and I think I'm going to go a little long here, so maybe I'll just suggest that you make note of it. Remember, again, back in our study of Matthew 28, Matthew 18, one of the things I said was, you know, when you go and when you take two or three witnesses, you might find out that you were the one that was wrong.
Right.
And Proverbs chapter 15, I'm going to skip over to not read it, but chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, kind of explains how that is and what it is that we ought to be, handling with each other. James talked about the ship. The ship being steered by a small rudder. Some of us got a gutter rudder. And the truth will be known. You know, as you might have guessed, I follow the news and I follow politics pretty closely. About 20 years ago, there was a man that was running for president who was accused of having an affair. And he said, I dare you. I'm not having an affair. I dare you. Follow me. Well, they followed him. And guess what? He was having an affair.
Yeah.
Chapter 12, 19, Proverbs 12, 19 says that truthful lips will be exalted forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. I bet there are people in here that don't even know his name. It does catch up with you. Even the people that we wonder if it's ever going to catch up with. It does catch up with you.
Amen.
Be slow to speak. We sort of covered that. I'm not going to read this other picture I have because we sort of covered that earlier. Be slow to speak. Don't be quick to have something to say. Take time to think about how many politicians, I don't even have to mention names, how many politicians do you know that if they had just stopped and thought a minute, would have stayed out of all kinds of trouble.
I mean, how few have done that?
And I'm gonna read a couple more here about the tongue in the course of your life from the wisdom of Proverbs, chapter 12, 13, and 14. It says that an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of his hand, and the deeds of a man's hand will return to him.
Amen.
You know, what happens when you go to a job interview? You submitted a resume. They liked your resume, but what is really going to decide whether or not you get that job? It does have a lot. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that go into that, how you present yourself, a number of things. But ultimately, that conversation that you have, and the things that you choose to say are going to have a lot to do with how you get, whether or not you get that job. The words, the things that you choose to say, the things that you choose to talk about, will determine your future. chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. It says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now that's a whole different message there. We won't get into that. But more importantly, we've talked a lot about how it's going to affect you, how the things that you say will affect you. We've talked a little bit about how you can affect others. We'll talk some more about how it can affect others, the things that you say. You know, I thank God for my father. He taught me a lot of wonderful things. And many of you have heard him speak here. But I remember a particular incident. When I was just a little boy, maybe between 6 and 8 somewhere, and we went to a fast food joint, and we were picking up, and there was a car that was with us in the line, and it was making all kind of racket, just tap, 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 and really noisy. Dad was explaining to me what was wrong with that car. And, well, then the car died, and I was just like, well, how are we going to get our food now the car's not? He said, well, that's awful selfish. She's going to have all kinds of trouble because of that. She probably can't afford to fix that car if it was in that bad of shape to start with. I don't remember everything he said to me. But the message stuck. The message stuck. The message was, you need to be concerned about other people.
Right.
You don't need to be concerned about yourself.
Amen. That's right.
It was a word of new season. I was just little. There are lots of other things. Encouragement. And you know, I'm going to brag on my dad some more. Sorry, I just got to. You know, every time I talk, probably every other time that I talk to him today, he still says things to me like, what a great man he thinks I am. What a good son I am. You know, whatever else happens, you know, God forbid, you know, if I get fired, if I say something really stupid out here, y'all march me out the door. I always know that my dad and my grandmama are always going to think that I'm the greatest thing around.
Amen.
Proverbs 12:25 says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:23 says that a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, I was not going to use this verse, and I didn't even write it down, and I don't even know where it is, and I'm going to duck when I say this, but I think it makes a good point. Yeah. Remember that it's Solomon writing, right? He's a man. He knew something about women because he had 1,000 of them.
Easy.
But he said, better to live in the corner of a roof than inside the house with a contentious woman. But it could have been written just as easily by a woman about a man. The point here is not men and women. It's about what contention and strife will do to your family and will do to your household. You can destroy your family. Just like we talked about how you can destroy your church family, you can destroy your immediate family with the things that you say. And it doesn't even have to be directly derogatory against the person. If you just constantly got a problem, that wears. That wears on your relationship. Now, I'll tell you something else that was brought out to me as I looked through all of these Proverbs. Chapter 15, verse 4, says that a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. You know, we can say things and not mean it. And most of the time, people start to eventually figure out that we didn't mean it. and it completely destroys the good effect. It's as if we didn't see. In fact, it'd be better if we didn't say anything at that point. Chapter 12, verse 18 says that there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusting of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Conflict resolution. A lot of y'all probably know this. How many have ever worked in customer service? People in customer service ought to know this proverb because it's what they're taught. It's not about, I mean, man, that customer could be an absolute jerk. They deserve to just be raked over the coals for being such a jerk. But what do? You give them a soft answer, right? Because the customer's always right. You're there to serve. No matter how bad it gets, you know, eventually there does come a point that generally you try everything that you can do to make things right. And that's the way that we're supposed to be, especially among one another. We bend over backwards to make things right. A gentle answer turns away, that's Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. So we've talked a lot about the tongue today and about what we should be doing with and what we don't. But how do we practically then, what are some practical things that we can do if we find that we're using our tongues in unhelpful ways and perhaps setting the course of our life in an undesirable way, how do we change that? Well, I can tell you right now that trying to do it on the surface level by making lists of rules about what you can and can't say isn't going to work because you're not getting at the root of the problem. The root of the problem is how you think. Let's look over in Romans chapter 12. This is a fairly, most people probably know this verse. It's quoted a lot in Christian circles. Do not be confused. Formed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Begin to change what you think. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34 and 35 there. What's in your heart is going to come out. So if you want to change what's coming out, change what's going in. Spend time. You know, I'm going to give you an example. I love good books. I would read just about anything. I'm particularly fond of science fiction, and I'm particularly fond of, I'd say second to science fiction is maybe a good spy or political thriller. But you know, some of that stuff, people are doing things and saying things that ought not to be said and ought not to be done. And if I spend my time filling my head with that, guess what's going to come out? Now, you know, I might be able to have some self-control and not have it come out in, you know, just every situation. But that's the kind of stuff that's going to be in my heart and in my head if that's what I constantly put in there. And for you, it might be something totally different. It might be soap operas, or it might be the kind of music you listen to. Those things aren't necessarily, well, I don't know about soap operas. Those things aren't necessarily evil in themselves. It's in the amount of time. Any good thing, even if it's something that's truly good, even if all I ever read was Christian books, if that's all I ever did and I never spent time in prayer and I never spent time in the Bible, it'd be too much of a good thing. It'd be just as bad. Because we need to be focusing on those things which transform our minds. And that's how we transform what we say. So I'm going to leave you with one final verse and then I'll turn it over. It's one of our favorites in our house. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good repute, if there be any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it back over to Don or Pastor, whoever wants to pick it up from here. And of course, as we close, I know that any of us will be willing to pray with anybody that would like to pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Larry, so much.
Amen.
How important. Just think about life and death. The things we say mean so much. How important our words are. And Larry just brought it out. When he read the scripture that we're going to give an accounting. Maybe not to each other. You know, there have probably been ugly things we've said to somebody and may never see that person again. We may not ever give an accounting to that person for the things we said, but we have an accounting that we're going to give for the angry words, for the ugly words that we have said because we spoke out too quickly, because we put the wrong stuff in. It's important that we confess our sins. That's what God expects of us to do. Confess with our mouth. Those are the words that we need to say. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to hear a good word. Something said to them that they can take to heart. Because you know what? When we say those good words, when we do those good things, when those things come out of our mouth, we're speaking blessings on people. But you know what? We can also speak cursing on people. If we'll speak blessings on people, maybe they'll receive that blessing and pass that blessing on. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a family.
Right.
To speak blessings on one another. It's going to be so important for you to understand today the power that's in your words. The power, how you can build somebody up or how you can tear somebody up down just by the words you say. How quickly we speak sometimes. How thoughtless we speak sometimes. And you know what? And it seems like once those words come out, you can't get them back. Because, you know, we can say, I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it, and stuff like that. But the hurt's there. And we need to be better at that. And I'm so glad that Larry chose that subject today. I'm glad that Priscilla chose that subject today to teach Sunday school lesson, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. If there's something you need today, if you need someone to pray with you, we're going to have an invitation, and you can come down here and you can let me speak a blessing on you. Turn to the person next to you. Let them speak a blessing on you. You speak a blessing on somebody else. If there's something that you need prayer for, come down here and let me pray with you. Or turn to the person next to you. Let them pray for you. But let's speak the words of life today. Let's speak blessings today. Let's let this tongue, this powerful thing that we have in our mouth, that seems so uncontrollable, with God's help we can control it. With God's help, we can speak blessings. Don's going to lead us in just a verse or two. If you'd like Larry to pray with you, go to Larry or Linda or Chris. Anybody here that needs somebody to pray with, I'll be down here. We'll pray with you. Whatever God calls you to do, this is just a moment in time. We just spend a few minutes doing this. You've got time for everything else. Make time for God.
Amen.
Don can leave us in a verse.